Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
This morning's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to the ones who ask him?"
Thank you, Sam. Good morning, everyone. Great to see so many people here this morning on what is my first sermon here at GBC. So we are continuing our series on learning how to pray with Jesus. But before I get into the sermon for this morning, I just want to make mention of our Kids Zone program that has been happening this term. They too are doing a series on prayer, specifically on the Lord's Prayer, which we will be looking at this morning. And part of that program, they have got a prayer wall that they have put up. It is at the back of the atrium behind the play equipment. Let me just encourage you to go check that out this morning if you haven't already done so. You are more than welcome to engage with that as well, putting your own prayer on there. I think it's a great way for us as the wider church community to engage with our kids and our kids program. So please make sure you go check that out this morning. That said, we will jump into it. And may I just start out by saying that I have found this passage incredibly interesting as I've looked at it throughout the last couple of weeks. There is some very well-known passages in there with the Lord's Prayer and with the passage on ask, seek, and knock. But from the very beginning, I find it gets interesting real quickly. Because verse 1 says, "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" And I find this response quite confusing. It brings up so many questions. And the biggest one is, like, why were they asking this? Why were the disciples asking Jesus how to pray? Did they not know how to pray? Did they finally see the value in prayer? Were they interested just because they saw Jesus doing it? And we can answer some of those questions quite easily. Did they know how to pray? Well, they were Jewish. The disciples were Jewish, which meant that prayer was common practice for the Jewish people. And they would have heard the prayers of the Pharisees and possibly got bored during them. But they would have known what prayer was about. So they would have known what prayer was and would have known what it was about. And the questions of, do they see the value in prayer and were they interested, are kind of connected. Because they probably would have seen Jesus praying and they would have been intrigued and interested by it. And probably from that thought, oh, maybe if it's important for Jesus, then it's important for me as well. But I think there's still a bit more to this confusion. But we can ask a question after reading Jesus's initial response. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive anyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, the question I have is that does Jesus, in the way that he responds to his disciples about this question, actually give them anything new? Does he give them any new information? So when we take a closer look at that response, Jesus is instructing his disciples to do four key things and to pray into four main areas. They are praise, asking, repentance, and yielding. So starting off with praise is the expression of our feelings of love, admiration, respect, and gratitude towards God. And here in this passage it says, hallowed be your name. And to hallow something is to keep it holy. So really the phrase here, hallowed be your name, is to respect the name of Jesus and respect God's name and keep it holy. Definitely a phrase of praise. Second thing is asking, which we find in verse 3, give us each day our daily bread, where Jesus is instructing his disciples to ask God to fulfill their needs. It is common knowledge that we as humans we have needs, we require things to continue living and surviving, and God here is instructing his disciples to put our reliance and for the disciples to put their reliance on God to fulfill those needs. Our third thing we find in verse 4, which we found our last two, is repentance, which we find in what Jesus says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive anyone who sins against us. Now, to repent is to turn from sin and face God and to refocus on him. And of course, that is important, as we know, and Jesus is instructing his disciples to do so in their prayers. And the final one is yielding, which is to give our lives and give control of our lives to God. As Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. So are any of these areas that are new to the disciples? Well, I don't think they are. When you think of praise was, again, pretty common practice for the Jewish people. You think of the book of Psalms and how many songs and prayers of praise are contained within the book of Psalms. Like, I think it was pretty common. When you think about asking for things, there are many accounts within the Old Testament of the Israelites' descendants asking God for things, asking them to fulfill their needs. There were many practices of sacrifices of atonement for repentance. It was, again, common practice to sacrifice animals so that one could live in right relationship with God again. And a specific example of this is after King Solomon had built the temple, it became the responsibility of the high priest to actually sacrifice an animal and then go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood around the Holy of Holies so that the Israelites could live in right relationship with God again. And the final one is yielding. And the Israelites had been led by God since they left Egypt. They were not a new concept to them. So in our pursuit to find what is new information for the disciples in this passage, we get led to verse 5. And I want to make a quick note here that I actually think Jesus could have stopped in his response at this point. The question that the disciples were asking was a question of how do we pray, not of why we pray. But Jesus doesn't stop here. And what we can learn from reading it, and what hopefully the disciples could from hearing it, is that it's not enough to know how we pray, but we need to know why we pray as well. And beginning in verse 5, this is the start of Jesus' explanation as to why we pray. And it says, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Bit of an interesting start to an explanation on why prayer, but Jesus here is explaining to his disciples that it is of a natural human nature to want to give to those who ask us. When our neighbor comes up to us and asks for a loaf of bread, we want to give them that bread even if we are not friends. When our family, our friends, our children, our partners, or even people we don't know like our neighbors or strangers on the street ask us for something, it is a natural response for us to want to give them what they are asking for. And really the only thing that they would prevent us from doing so and wanting to is if that was going to be dangerous to us or harmful to us or to them, the person we are giving it to. Really, even if we can't fulfill the needs that they are asking us, there's still a desire for us to help. We might try to think of solutions or substitutions to what we can give them that might help them instead. So there is a natural response for us to want to give to those who ask. And Jesus, in his response, continues and says in verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So these passages in relation to prayer is that God wants to answer our prayers. When we ask God for things, God wants to answer our prayers. It's a pretty simple concept that we already understand. So when we ask, it will be given to us. When we seek God, we will find him. When we knock for opportunities, the door will be open for us. God wants to answer our prayers. And then Jesus continues on in verse 11. "Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So not only does God want to answer our prayers, he wants to give us good answers to our prayers. If it is a natural human response to us to want to give to those who ask us, how much more will God have that response if we are a reflection of him? So when we ask, when we pray, God wants to give us a good answer. And kind of up to this point, it does kind of feel like we have two separate responses to the one question. But when we look a little bit deeper, when we go a little bit further into the text, we can kind of bring a connection about to these. And that is that Jesus here gives his disciples a framework of which they are to pray, the four areas that they are to pray in, knowing that when God answers them, he will give them good answers. So when we go back up to the Lord's Prayer, when we think of praise, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." When we praise God, when we worship him, when we are faithful to God, God in return gives us a good answer by blessing us for our faithfulness. When we ask for things, "Give us each day our daily bread." When we ask God into our lives, when we ask God to fulfill our needs as humans, when we ask God to come into our situations, God gives us a good answer by helping us in those situations, by fulfilling those needs for us, he gives us good answers. When we repent of our sins, when we turn from the sin and focus on God, when we turn from the evil of the world and we focus on the love of Jesus, God helps us by giving us a good answer, by helping us and assisting us in our journey towards him, and by keeping us accountable to our faithfulness in him. And finally, when we yield to God, when we give him control of our lives and no longer steer it in the direction that we want, God gives us a good answer by steering it towards him, by directing our lives to him. Now, if you've paid close attention to the passage, you would know that sometimes God does not answer us with the answer of yes, which we commonly think of a good answer. And sometimes he can actually answer us with the answer of no. Now, this passage doesn't actually speak anything about answers of no, but it is something we ought to think about. So to put it in its place in this text, I think it fits best in the topic of yielding to God, right? Lead us not into temptation. Now, when we give control of our lives to God, when we allow him to steer us in the right direction, all right, that includes what it says, to lead us not into temptation, right? And as the reflecting passage in Matthew 6, that also has the Lord's Prayer, says, deliver us from the evil one, okay? When God steers our lives, he steers us away from evil, away from temptation, and towards the good, and towards his love. And in doing so, that would include giving an answer of no in some situations. Which again, if you think about it in that way, would be a good answer. Now that is kind of its own sermon topic. And we do not have time to go and to delve into the answers of no that God gives us and how we deal with those. So I will have to leave that for another time and possibly even another person. Sorry, Mark. But I thought it would be at least important to mention in relation to this text. So when we rethink about the question that we posed at this, kind of at the start of, what is new information for the disciples here in this passage? Well, I got to the point where thinking that I don't think any of this is necessarily new. When you think about prayer and we think about the answers that God gives, it's pretty normal for us to think that God, our Heavenly Father, wants to give us good answers and does give us good answers. And I think the disciples would have known this. So I think instead of Jesus answering them and presenting with something new, he presents them with things that they already know, but he just presents it in a new way for them. And I think the same is for us as well. I don't think any of this is necessarily new information for us. I don't think it is a new revelation to know that God gives us good answers when we pray for things. But the question that I pose in conclusion to the sermon this morning is that why should we want to pray like Jesus instructs his disciples here in Luke 11? And hopefully I've already answered this question. Because we should want to pray like God gives us here. We should want to use the framework that Jesus sets out in the Lord's Prayer to pray in those areas that Jesus encourages us and the things that we often do pray for, knowing that when we do pray in those areas, God is going to give us a good answer. God wants to give us good answers. He wants us to communicate with him on a regular basis, to pray into these areas that we already know how to pray. He wants us to communicate with him so that he can answer us and give us those good answers that we desire. And he does this because he loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us, and relationships abound and founded on communication. He wants us to communicate with him so that we may have a stronger relationship with him. So we pray using the Lord's Prayer as our framework, knowing when God answers us, he gives us good answers. Now I'm going to invite the band to come back up the front for our final song. And I'm going to pray in a moment, but if you would like to receive some prayer as we go through this series on prayer, we're going to have our prayer team up the front available for you. And I will be down there as well. So if there is something that you would like to be prayed for, something within these four areas that God gives us, come, allow us to pray for you so that together we may hear those good answers. Let us pray together. Father God, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the fact that you give us your word so that we may look upon it, that we may study it, and we may know you better. Father, you're a good father who loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And we know that good, healthy relationships are built on prayer. Father, I just pray that you would help us to pray within the four areas that you set before us in the Lord's Prayer better, so that we may hear your good answers, because we know that you want to give us those good answers. And Lord, if there is anything that is on anyone's heart, that is on anyone's mind this morning, that they need a good answer for, Lord, I pray that today, that this week, you would give them the good answer that they desire. Lord, help us in our needs. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Father, lead us not into temptation, but lead us to you. Because hallowed is your name, and your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.